Greetings, Earthlings. Welcome back to part two of the Teresa Halbach, Stephen Avery reading. Again, like, separate those two names, not to be associated with each other. But go back and listen to part one if you haven't already. There's a lot of information in there, including me saying this is all alleged. Okay. So I've been, like, speaking a bit with Teresa, a little bit about what she'd like to say to her family, convey to her family. It appears she has quite a big family. But one thing she did say, it did show me, was this closeness with particular siblings who felt like her children. It almost felt like she was, like she could flex her motherhood muscles with them. I would say some of her siblings, she was closer to her in age, but then it just, I really feel like there's one or two, it's like this younger energy where she could be more than just a sister. And, you know, it was really close to these particular siblings. I also do get her goofing around, like putting her, feels like brother, could be sister, brother in headlock or something, you know, like goofing around. It's a little strange because she's giving me older sister vibes with her brothers, but I don't think she was actually an older sister. But, you know, I can't talk because I have a younger sister who behaves like my older sister. I guess family dynamics change around a little bit like that, depending on personality. But I almost feel like she was an older sister to everyone, even if she wasn't the older sibling. I just feel really strongly this, her having younger siblings, and was there someone that was like a son to her, or was she particularly close with one of her nephews, or is this a sibling or nieces or nephews? But I get it. I do also feel that male energy, or like a tomboy energy. I don't know. It's like she was particularly close to certain relatives, like younger siblings. Yeah, I definitely feel a closeness with certain siblings, which seems like an obvious thing to say, but it feels almost like a Gilmore Girls closeness. You know, I can see Lorelai and what's her name? Oh my goodness, I haven't seen that show in so long. And her daughter sitting on the couch watching movies and like girl gossip, and like a mum who's like an older sister who's like a mum, that kind of vibe. Like they would trust her. Maybe with things they couldn't tell their mum. Okay, I was just thinking about I think there are some theories that her family was involved and I just wanted to feel out if there was an answer to that particular question. Personally, when I look at her family and whether they could have been involved or done something to cause her demise, keep taking my focus off them and putting it over somewhere else. So it's like I don't know if some of them were far away from where she was murdered, or, well, I just said murdered. Okay. I don't know if some of them were far away from her, but it feels like far away, nothing to do with it. She's saying, like, what's that saying? Is it Occam's razor? Is that the one? Or keep it simple, stupid. You know, the obvious answer is the right answer, or the, like, keep it simple. I think some of these theories are quite outlandish in that, not that I've read them, but they're very convoluted. And she's saying people want to make up mysteries where there are no mysteries. And she's really saying that she had, I think she's from the Midwest, so she's had like a normal Midwest life, except that she's giving me the feeling that she has seen more than most, but it's like a normal upbringing. I heard there's nothing to see here, so I'd be super surprised if any of them come out with skeletons, like big skeletons in their closet, not the usual skeletons. You know, everyone's got some. She just keeps dragging my attention back to the Averys or around that way. She's like, every time I look at her family, she takes my attention and puts it elsewhere. Nothing to see here. Okay. Oh, and it's raining. You guys have been listening to me for a while. I know that quite often the rain drops in when I'm recording, and I take it as a sign that I'm on the right spot. But just as the rain hit, I was thinking, she said I died, and then she lit a lighter. Fire. She lit a lighter. Like a Zippo lighter? She said she died, and then she flipped the... She turned the... Like the cap was already open. She turned the lighter. Lit the lighter. And she's looking at it. She's saying in a horrible way, like no mercy shown. She's like, much in the way that someone would not a good someone, but someone would might terrorize an animal. She's saying, me too. She's like going, cat, her, animal, her, no difference. She's saying, may as well be the same object. There's no care taken. There's no being distinguished between a human being and an animal. It's like plaything. Here for my gratification. My needs only. I also did hear, most of them covered it up, like most of them I would just go out on a limb here and say that the family knows more than they're letting on. Not Teresa's, the Avery family. Avery bunch. It's like, we take care of our own. Anyone that's seen Outlander, it's kind of like that clan mentality of we can put each other down, but nobody else can. You know? Like, we have our own way of justice. But I think that I get the feeling that things that are wrong in larger society are not always wrong in their ways doing things. Does that make sense? I think a lot was forgiven and forgotten within the clan, the family. There are a lot of things that just went not under the radar because they were seen or known about. It was like, I just heard from the mother's voice, Stevie can do no wrong. You know, Steve. Is he somehow the golden child in some way, or did he get it the worst? Was he their mum's favorite? It's just something about perhaps he was able to manipulate from a younger age. Well, there are other things going on that I don't even want to. The word that comes to mind is incestuous with a capital I in this family. All alleged, but that's what I just heard. Incestuous, capital I. I think a lot of family members were doing things that most people would not do. And by their measure, it was acceptable. I get this feeling if it's all right, no one will know. What can they do to me anyway? I certainly don't condone any of that behavior. This is just the impressions that I'm getting. Here's the thing. I think Teresa knew who he was from the news, but I certainly don't think that she was aware of what kind of person or people the Averys were or are. I think there was talk around the town, mostly, but I don't know if she bought into that, if she was even, pardon me, from around there. What I'm getting at, I'm also wondering if she moved there or she grew up there, because I think they're different places. Okay, anyway, what I'm getting at is, she keeps calling him a great white shark. You know, she's saying, I'm going to go with it here. If you found a dead body next to a great white shark or around a great last known location was near the great white shark, wouldn't it be logical to assume that the shark ate her? That's what I just heard. Not that it was some someone else far away. How far was her family? Because she's making me feel like they weren't. It just feels like it would be unusual for them to be where she was. It's not like they were just, oh. And she's talking about proximity now. She's saying proximity. Who was closer to her? Who had more opportunity? That's what she's saying. She's saying, use your sense, and she's tapping her forehead. Makes it, oh my goodness. I'm sketching here, and I realize I've just drawn a shark fin without even realizing it. Wow. How amazing. she's also saying that when it comes to Stephen Avery, that it's not just one. She's saying you have to look at all the people who have allowed him to get away with it for years, to get away with mistreating and abusing people and young women. She's looking at his mum in particular, and there's a... Is it an older brother or an older nephew? There's like a male here, older than someone, yeah. Not necessarily older than Stephen. It's like they're enablers within the family. Not necessarily his older brother. It's hard to describe what I'm feeling. It's male who is older than somebody in the family, but it is not necessarily older than Stephen. Enablers and joiners. You know, it's like, for lack of a better explanation, friends who let their friends do horrible things without intervening, they join in instead of going, hey, that's not right, you shouldn't do that. It's like this getting, I have a cacophony, but it's like getting drunk, this cackle, like getting drunk off of doing it together. You know, we shouldn't be doing this, or not even that. It's like seeing how far each other will go. I also want to say he might be the greatest salesman. It just feels like he's good at selling his innocence, or selling, like, playing dumb or manipulating people into believing him. This victim mentality is huge. It's large. It's large when it comes to the Averys, in particular Stephen Avery. Now, I have to say again, if you haven't listened to part one, go listen to it, but when I first watched Making a Murderer, before I really tapped into my abilities, I was certain that he was innocent, but I couldn't reconcile why, if he was so good and pure and innocent, why when I looked at his photos I didn't feel that from him. And now I feel like I'm in a good place to speak candidly on the impressions that I'm receiving. His mother was a big allower. She participated in, not necessarily Teresa, but she was privy to other young women being hurt. I'm hearing that she's showing me escalated, and showing me escalated. She's saying it just got worse and worse and worse. It's like, I got away with poking her there. Can I get away with pulling your hair, or like cutting her there? It's, I don't know, not necessarily Teresa, but it's like, I can get away with this. What else can I get away with? I can get away with that now. Like, how far? It's like someone who tests women's boundaries, not out of respect, not out of going, okay, I've gone too far, I've got to stop. It's like, how far can I go until you tell me to stop? But yeah, definitely not out of respect. How often can I touch you? Where can I touch you before you say, hey, quit it? You know, how much can I convince you and talk you into doing something that you probably, you know, you shouldn't be doing? Can I rationalize you into this? Can I just take it? You know, that's what I'm getting. So when we look at that kind of personality, I think if Teresa and people had known that he was like that, allegedly, or people around him were like that, or close to that, I really don't... Do you really think that anyone in their right mind would choose to volunteer to be around him? No. But on the news, he was made into a martyr of sorts, wasn't he? Because I believe around that time he had been, or not long before, like this was after what I'm trying to say. This is after he was released and for being charged for the wrong crime or something. This was after that. So she knew of him from the news, I think, or like being a local celebrity. But she didn't know him. She's saying she didn't know him, who he was. She felt something. She felt off. And this is my message to everybody listening here. You always trust your instincts. I'm not blaming Teresa at all. I'm not saying who hurt her or anything right in this moment. I'm saying if anyone makes you feel off, you trust it. There is no reason you should ever put yourself in harm's way. There's no good reason. And I just gotta say, it makes me feel for her and her family that she went to these places to meet these people alone, you know. So don't feel sorry for me. Feel sorry for me. She said, keep your head up. You gotta do this reading for me. It's quite interesting that I think she was really good at putting confidence in people or helping them. Okay. I'm feeling a little bit of an anger, not just with her, but with people in general who were like, if someone had just said something, if they had been able to put him away for some of the crimes he'd committed previously. It's like he just is slippery, like a fish or an eel. Just kept escaping justice. I feel like he's done so many things that people would be shocked to know and would be so surprised that he's a free man. It's like so confusing because he was freed and martyred and here acquitted, or, you know, he didn't do this crime. He did all that time. But I don't think all of that was for the rape case. So then people look at him like, I guess it's a big tale of, you know, to say nobody's black, it's not black and white. Just because he was exonerated from one crime doesn't mean he never committed a crime in his life. I feel like contrary to that point, I feel like he's committed his fair share of crimes and more. I feel like the whole family is peppered with crime. I'm not looking down on them when I say that. Just what I'm feeling like. So she's saying, now that people are sort of aware of his mentality and approach to women and young women especially, and his ability to overpower and master and manipulate them, even children, she's saying like children were the easiest for him to manipulate. That's why he went to them. He's like, grown women fight harder and longer. And she's talking about his nephew, Brendan Dassey, easily manipulated, easy. I heard scapegoat, I heard innocence, but I also get this feeling, not his mother, but I get this feeling of like, you do what's right for this family, you know? It's like taking the fall for the king. And I also get his brother, not his older brother, one of his brothers, like having his hands tied but being useless, like not being able to, like complacency, what can I say, but also what can I do? I think if his family, certain members of the family, if his siblings really spoke up about everything, be quite the revelation, and like the shark would be caught. I also do wonder if that's why law enforcement have gone after him so hard, is because they are quite aware of his, I want to say dalliances, that's not my word, but it's someone who's a menace to society. And so if people really understood, rather than going, you know, fuck the police, they would go, right, so they were justified in wanting to put the bad guy away. Do you know what I mean? I'm not condoning anyone putting someone away who didn't deserve it. I'm saying if we look at it in this light, someone who just gets away with shit and it terrorizes people behind the scenes, and quite brazenly at times too, I can understand why law enforcement would be looking for an excuse to take that man off the streets, you know? Because I'm feeling like people talk. People were talking about Avery, the shark. And there were some people that he wronged who were so brainwashed, it was like so convoluted that they didn't quite understand that they were being wronged. And this is what I'm talking about, young people, young girls, one girl in particular. Okay. She's showing me that his eyes put her on edge. I can see her sort of recoiling a bit, like, oh. Remember how I was saying in part one, it's not like eyes you could fall into, they're dreamy. It's like off-putting, unsettling. Just do the job and get out of here. And like a sigh of relief every time she'd leave, not wanting to come back there. Also not believing that it's like broad daylight, brazen, not believing that someone or an attacker or somebody could be that brazen. But she's also talking about someone else here. If he was involved, I would say there was more than one. I certainly don't think it was Brendan Dassey. She's showing me the face of the other one that was on the stand. I heard complicit, and she's just slammed the two together. Like one, Avery and that guy family, like slammed them together. Like, club their heads together kind of thing. Like complicit. So I would say at the very least, the younger accomplice is in on, like, knows stuff at the very, very least. She said it was a plan. Interesting, I'm sketching now a car window. It looks like a car window, and I just saw her looking out her window, like someone at her window getting her attention. Feeling like so cut short, interrupted, feeling like relief of like, oh, okay, I'm gonna get out of here, I might be getting out of here, like, eh, like she would leave on other times. Okay, she never liked going there, so it the feeling they're giving me is much like I used to work on a construction job near an abandoned jail, and part of my job was to go and measure the cracks at the jail to see how far they had moved with the construction and everything. I won't bore you with further details, but I used to hate going up there by myself. This was well before I was a psychic and understood all this stuff. I mean, I had my abilities, I just wasn't aware. So I used to go up there and I would practically run in and get this creepiest feeling. I do my measurements. I still can't believe that I had the balls to go in there and do it myself. And I really feel like they should have sent someone with me. You know, just like all the men on that site, and they, you know, I had to go by myself. But anyway, I went in there, did my measurements in all the different buildings and places. I still can't believe I went in there. It's actually, they have ghost tours there. And so I would get horrendous feelings, well, like just eerie feelings. And I, you know, that feeling you get when you're running or you're playing, and you feel like you just get that someone's chasing you, and so you run a little bit faster, like you get this feeling like someone's after you. So I would get out of there so fast. There was no one behind me, but I felt this urgency of like, I gotta get the fuck out of here, and this sense of relief when I got out of there, like, oh, another one done, I got out of there. But she didn't get out of there this time, and I'm wondering what was different. She keeps showing me the two. She keeps showing me accomplice and maybe a third, like complicit. I think in Making a Murderer, they tried to make it look like Stephen was innocent and his family member was guilty. Knowing what I know about Stephen Avery, I can't imagine that he was completely innocent. Like, this was the first time he had not mistreated a female. It's impossible. Allegedly. So yes, this sense of, I'm about to get out of here. Like, I'm, like, this sense of relief washing over you. But I also heard the word overpowered. Overpowered. She may have been a tough and sweet cookie, but she was no match for whoever hurt her, and it certainly feels like murdered, absolutely disposed of, done away with. She's sort of saying snuffed out. Like a candlelight snuffed out, and my candle is blinking, like flickering. She's saying to me, like, even if she had big, strong, like huge, tough brothers, or like the appearance of tough, like, she's like, all the wrestling with her brothers in the world, this is the energy she's giving me. It's like, she's saying no woman could withstand it. You know, she's talking about girls who have this idea of, I grew up around boys and brothers and I'm tough and I can handle myself. She said that, well, that may be, but she said, that may well be, but she said, if you're in a situation like what she was in, she said it doesn't count. She said it doesn't count. There's only so much you can outsmart and outwit and fight your way out of as a lone woman with even just one man. And she's cautioning women to be careful, especially these women who are like, I can fight any man. And, you know, she's all for the sisterhood and girl power. But she said, don't kid yourself, don't fool yourself. Because that man next to you, he is capable of snapping your neck. But she doesn't say this to scare people. I think what she's saying is just don't box yourself in. I don't feel like she blames herself, but it's like, don't box yourself in. Don't be foolish. Don't think, oh, you know, if I get jumped or if I get attacked, or if anyone comes after me, I'll be able to handle them. And she said, don't be foolish like me. That's what she said. I'm not calling her foolish, but she's just cautioning. Be careful about this tale you tell yourself that you could win in a fight against, unarmed, against a grown man. She said, it's likely that you won't or wouldn't. So just be careful, be mindful. Don't go where you feel uncomfortable. Take a friend or two or three. And document, she's saying even though she had a camera, she's talking about videotaping with your phone, you know, discreetly if you have to. She is big on keeping records. She's like, keep records, keep dates, times, write down conversations, videotape, back up your videos, take people with you so they can witness when you're unsafe, and make people take it seriously. Take it seriously when you feel unsafe. It might save your life one day. She's saying she didn't deserve to be snuffed out, and neither do you. I think she's showing me fear for her sisters, but in spirit, in truth, they don't feel fear. It's more of a communication of it's communication. She's worried about them being in the Avery spotlight. Is one of them old? I don't know if one's got a partner yet. I don't know if they're old enough for that. I think they are, but I feel like one of them at least is protected. She's saying Stephen may be in jail, but they're a whole family. There are others. You know, you gotta watch out. And she is cautioning about see, there was this energy of like, once the older people in the clan pass or merge, then the younger ones might come in with like fresh grass, new roots, and cleanse the palate, so to speak. But then she's also referring to Avery's kids. I think some of them are to be watched. Especially one of the twins. I think they have been through a lot, and I think they've been... I'm hearing need help, need help, need help. I'm getting this feeling like what's hidden on Avery Land stays hidden, but also get this feeling of a perpetrator or someone who, like Stephen Avery, wanting what he wants now, and there's no thought for later. There's no thought about is this smart? Am I gonna get away with it? It's like he does. he just follows his impulses, unnatural impulses. And someone who's like that, who's surrounded by enablers, is dangerous. Not good impulses, I'm talking about, you know, hurtful impulses. I certainly don't feel like we're dealing with a mastermind here who could outwit law enforcement and like come up with this exorbitant or like exotic plan of how to get away with murder. I don't think he could have planned how well it all went for him, but he's good at playing innocent and he's good at causing doubt, and like he's more intelligent than he puts on. You know, I just said, I don't know, I'm stupid. Like, it's disarming. And I mean, all you have to do is ask the millions of people who say he's not smart enough to have committed this crime. Well, he's at least committed a few. This is like act first, think later. It's not like, okay, first I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that, then that, then that, then that. It's like a true belief that he's above the law and a law unto himself, and that everyone around him will cover for him because they have been doing it his entire fucking life. It's like, this is the shit that Teresa's like, she was up against. She's just like a fly into a trap, but she's saying, if she keeps calling him a great white, if I knew he was a great white, a predator like that, I would not have gone there. I don't think she would have sent her co-workers either. It would have been like stay away, or you know, take an army with you, but we can't do your business. And I feel like she would have been backed up by her co-workers or her boss. I feel like she had their support. I feel like a lot of love for her there. I think if it had been certain, not like always a little creepy, like, I don't think I want to go back. I just feel like if things were for sure, if everyone knew what he was like, they would never have sent her there. Not in a million years. But there was this reasonable doubt. There's doubt about his character because, well, they said he's innocent on TV. She can't quite put a finger on what her feeling is. She may not be used to using her intuition as much as needed. I don't feel like she had a partner to go home to say, hey, honey, baby, babe, I went here and I didn't like the vibe he was giving me. Like, this feeling of a partner who would step in and say, you're not going back there. I think her friends did, but I think you know what I'm getting at. If you, like, have a husband or a boyfriend and they put their foot down and they're not telling you what to do because they're bossing you, it's more like out of care and concern. Absolutely not, I don't want you around him. You know, that might have stopped her. I don't know. I feel like she was left with her doubts. I'm also wondering if she was partially conscious for some of what was done to her. This feeling of someone who's in and out. I do. I'm not going to go too far into it, but I do see her bound. I do see gag, or like muffled somehow. Something in her mouth. Humiliated. And she said something about a kick. Maybe more than once. Just, there's going to be a bit of silence here, guys. I wonder if someone, you know, I was saying the two and then like a bit of a third. I wonder if someone caught, or like walked in on something, or caught them in the middle of something, and so that person has knowledge. Like they could blow this whole thing wide open, but they're not talking. Because they're afraid. Also, maybe not what's right about the family, you know, you don't take care of the family. It's mostly fear. I'm gonna try and go into a deeper meditation, just so I can be absolutely certain about what I'm seeing here. Just a sec, guys. Feel free to skip forward 15 seconds or so on your podcast app. Thanks for waiting. So the gist of what I'm getting is overpowered, but like more strength than was necessary, more like how do I say this? More pain or more violence than was warranted. Well, not that it was warranted, but it's like you grab someone on the throat, but they didn't grab them on the throat. They squeezed until, you know, it hurt. Like, really, it's not just grabbing, it's squeezing until there's pain. It's torture, terrorizing. And of course, they could be off base, but this is the energy that I'm getting. It could be other people that they have hurt, but I'm seeing her face. She said she was afraid, but she's not afraid now. So she's reminding people that she is okay now, that she is not afraid now. There's some things that I'm not going to share out of privacy for her and her family. Okay, it's interesting that I've just sketched a little shark fin next to the big shark fin, so I'm definitely getting like two. A family of sharks, but I'm getting two. I've got two fins sketched on the paper in front of me. Identical. Identical family, but not family. Allowers, enablers. either someone spat on her or like by her or near her. It feels like if they had actually found her remains, her physical remains, that there would be a plethora, I want to say, of DNA evidence. I also feel like killing her was, like it wasn't a big deal. I feel like maybe there was debate or argument over how or if or what or when or why, you know, whatever. But I certainly do feel like there was like some bossing around from the older one, like bossing. But it was not a big deal. Well, I heard anything I keep hearing in my head. Like they've killed things before, or he has killed things before. Like we do what needs to be done to protect ourselves. I would say at least on one of them, for one of them, there was no deliberation about her feelings or her family or anything like that. It's just snuffed out. Just feel like an ash smudge, an ash stain. I'm just thinking, I know a lot of people would say it doesn't make sense that he would do it because, you know, why would he do it? Like her last known location was his place. But like I said, it doesn't feel like this is thought through. It feels like this is done and then, well, maybe like premeditated, but what I'm saying is it's like this gotta have. We'll deal with the consequences later, or we'll like can get away with this. What are these words that are coming to me? Okay, I'm hearing a song that's singing untouchable, untouchable over and over again. Like a lot of celebrities think they are. There's also this feeling of they won't think that I'm the guy who was innocent. They're not going to accuse me of murder or anything like that. She's also saying that he afterwards was preying on other, like, he didn't stop hurting or preying on people after her. He didn't stop. I feel like a shark eats and then moves on and then just eats the next thing. And she's giving me the feeling that if he was not put away, he would do it again. At the very least, hurt people. Or molest, which is like a horrible word, but okay, let's wrap this up. Let me see what else I can get. So she's showing me like property, but she's going like with her left hand and a diagonal up, she's like going like up, up, or like out, out, like out that way, like going out that way, top left. So I'm not sure if that's gesturing like on the property, top left, she's gesturing to, or like past the property. So I've asked if they found her remains and she said not what they've hoped to. Like it's not enough. It's not enough. Not conclusive. It's not enough to conclusively say. And covered their tracks well. She keeps saying the greatest lie. the greatest lie. Okay. I just want to have a look at her photo. Just sign off. I don't think she's a big fan of some of the photos that they've put out of her, you know, being a photographer. Yeah, did I say in the first one that she's got one of her teeth quite unique? She's got images. She actually looks a lot like somebody I went to school with. She reminds me a lot of them. She said I was prey. I was prey. She said I probably look old now. And she said I'd probably be a mum. That she was saying. She's talking about people looking in the wrong places. They're not going to find much there. You've got to go back to the scene of the crime. The scene of the crime. It all happened there, and she's saying that she thinks her family know it, or like they know it, and that's the reason behind the questionable behavior. Did they find her camera? Because she's saying, like, my camera is gone, destroyed. Or, like, maybe the pictures have been destroyed, if they found it. But I feel like I'm just clicking through pictures of her. I'm feeling like I need to. She's saying she didn't know she was going to merge with Spirit. She didn't know. People are looking at her. I think there was an old video of her saying, talking about it. She said no. She said her intuition was telling her something was off, but she said no, she didn't know. She was going to die that day. But she's saying you can avoid that by listening to your intuition. Like, don't be scared. Trust your intuition. She's saying he was a bad man before anyone ever heard of him. He's always been a bad man. This is her endangered and missing photo. She keeps saying it's the simplest explanation to things. She's like, don't get into these big conspiracy theories. If it's what it looks like, you know, that's what I want to say. It's simple. It's not. She keeps talking about if you find, like, if someone gets bitten by a shark next to a shark, it was the shark, you know. That's what she keeps talking about. But she's making me feel like, law enforcement did drop the ball in a lot of ways. Oh, she did say, Steve. She said, remember in the first one she said Steve? She was calling Steve. The name Steve was written on masking tape attached to one of the weapons, I think. Muzzle loader. So that's interesting. Because she kept saying Steve. She was like, Steve. Not Stevie. Oh. I was wondering if they found her camera. But she's making me feel like it was destroyed. So if it wasn't gone totally, it was like damaged or something. Her beautiful camera. Okay, Teresa, is there anything else you want to say before I end the podcast, lovely? Ah, she's so sweet. Just saying it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for listening, and stay safe out there, ladies. Stay safe. Saying don't do anything stupid. It's not stupid. Like, you should be able to be free, but she's saying don't make stupid choices. Unsafe. She's saying scratch stupid. Say don't make unsafe choices, and don't assume that it's one way. Because the feeling that she's giving me is assuming that she was meeting one person on that day and ended up meeting two or three. It was like she went in thinking it was going to be one thing and didn't come out, you know. Or if she came out, it ended soon after. But I'm getting like backcountry vibes from the Avery lot. It sort of feels like it's got this real Wild West vibe of what happens out here stays out here. I'm guessing the property's quite large. It just feels like secluded in some places, or like they have access to properties that are super secluded where they can do things and not be found out. She said, I love you, Mom. Kiss, kiss, kiss her hands. She's acknowledging her dad. It doesn't feel like dad, but it's dad. But I feel like a stronger connection to Mum. And her younger siblings that she's close to. She just wants to tell them that she's not missing a thing. It's making me think of sometimes at family gatherings, if one of them can't attend, some people might have a photo up in their place. And she's like taking the photo and throwing it. She's like just casually over her shoulder. She's like, ah, she's there. She's at the event. She's seeing the weddings, the babies, and she said the best thing about it is she's saying now all the babies in the world are her babies. And it's interesting, I haven't seen this before, but she's giving me like a patron saint of children. I'm not a particularly religious person. I'm very spiritual though. But she's definitely giving me it's what I heard, patron saint of children, like a guardian of children. She said, I can do more this way. So, I know I didn't go too deep into what happened that day. Hopefully I was clear enough. If I wasn't, send me an email and I can do a part three. But this is ridiculously long. But I'm super glad that I gave Teresa time to speak. And I hope it helps in some way. I spoke candidly. I hope there's some truth to it, and people can move on, and she can heal, her family can heal. I mean, because she's doing all right. Also, I hear that the Daily Wire is releasing a documentary with all the evidence that the Netflix series did not release, so keep your eye on that. It's good to know both sides of the story. You can't just trust that the documentary tellers or the like Netflix is giving you the whole truth and nothing but the truth, because let's face it, pretty much every production company, producer, creator, like everyone's got a side that they're telling or an agenda. So, and sometimes that agenda is just plain old money. Okay. I'm going to sign off now. Teresa's waving bye. All my love to you, my listeners. Take care. Bye-bye.